the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. And as always, we're discussing all things rugby from around the world. Now tonight, the real deal, Rob Parker's in the house. The Earl of Rugby League is also in the house. Leon Price and yours truly. And we will be joined by a true rugby league legend when he gets here. And dual code international, the one, the only, Leslie Viney-Colo. We're giving away two tickets to the Bradford Bulls 20-year celebration this Sunday up at the Providence Stadium. So if you want your chance to win, you can give us the answer to this question. And it is, during Leslie's 8-year stint at the Bulls, did Leslie Viney-Colo score more or less than 100 tries? So did Bulls legend Leslie Viney-Colo score more or less than 100 tries? So you can contact us via the website at pulse1.co.uk/RobbieHunterRHPShow. Or you can just use Twitter and hashtag RHPShow. This is Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Good afternoon, good evening, lads. How's it going, boys? We actually got the full team back in the house as well, in the Hizu.
Full team's back.
Full team's
by
back.
By popular demand.
Wow. I just think when you're introducing the people, Robbie, could my name come before Rob Parker's, because I'm more of a prominent figure now.
Oh, you're more consistent, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Regular.
That's what I was thinking. When you're reading it out, then I was thinking my name should be coming before Parker's.
Because actually, before recently, Rob Parker obviously was the most regular person
absolutely
on the show.
You do it well.
But just recently he's been Rob?
I feel like a free spirit at the moment. I can just come and go when I please, pretty much like you two did at training back in the day. Turn up when I want, do what I want.
In the games as well.
In the games, exactly. Do you know what I mean? So
actually,
I'm just picking
Leon
and choosing.
Plays at the moment, isn't it?
Just picking and choosing.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to play now. I think I might score a try. Yes. Okay, go gadget arm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been away. I've had a few things on. I was away, actually, to Centre Parks last week with the family. Had a bit of family time.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, you see. Got ripped off left, right and centre.
Is that why you got a few more freckles on your bonce? Because you've been out in the sun.
Yep, you might want to turn your phone off as well while you're doing this show, Robbie. It's not like you've been doing it that long either. So I had a nice family week away. Nice and recharged, fully fresh. So I thought, why not? I'll jump in and see how the RHP show's going, or the LP show, whichever way. And just thought I'd wax lyrical on the airwaves.
Well, I was saying it to Leon last week. He said, I tell you what, we've got to get you and start doing this leading in, leading out. You know, starting to do more of the driving, Leon. And he was like, nah.
No, I didn't want to do that. No, it's just the reading. I've got reading, like, I like to do things ad lib, you know, just off
you're
top of
basically,
head.
What you're saying is you
I
can't
get a bit
read.
Scared. I just get a bit scared.
No, you can't read.
I can read, but not very fast.
It's all right. I'll write it down, but I'll write it down slow.
Okay, like we said earlier, we will be joined in the studio. Leslie was supposed to be here from the top of the show. He's actually listening as we speak right now. So, Leslie, we love you. Where are you? But don't rush to get here. We want to make sure that you get here safe and sound, because I know you're travelling with your family also. So we'll be catching up with Leslie very soon.
Are you surprised that he's late? Is anybody surprised that he's late?
Only for the colour, baby.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? You should have booked it in, but put it in on Tongan time.
I mean, he can ask.
Him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We can ask him when he gets here. When I said we're on the air between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, was he thinking Tongan time?
He might just have to think he turns up between that time and he's all right. Who knows? We'll find out when he gets here.
Leon, looking up at the big fella yourself, good win for you guys on the weekend, eh? Let's kick off. Let's start talking about some actual rugby.
Yeah, very good win. We've talked a lot of rugby since Parker's been away, haven't we?
We haven't quite worked out whether or not yet it's a positive distraction or a negative one.
We don't know.
I think rugby gets in the way of this show. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's going all right. We won again. Obviously, you would have seen if you watched the game on Thursday night on Sky. So
I actually watched it from some bar in Centre Park. That was me released to get away. I'd had 3 or 4 days with the missing kids. I needed an hour by myself.
Is that what you need? I mean, do you need to have an excuse? But do you say, well, actually, I need to do the research, because I use that one, I need to do the research to make sure I got all bases covered for the show?
I did, yeah, but it were £4.50 a pint as well at Centre Park, so I weren't gone too long.
So 90 quid later.
But I did watch the game, so at least know about Leon's game.
And it was a good game, actually. Witness jumped out at you, didn't they?
Really good game, yeah. They got a big start. We threw the ball around a bit too much, opening doors, dropped a lot of early possession, couldn't find field position. So they started strong, and then after about 20 minutes when I scored, we come back into it.
It's a common theme.
Actually, Leon did bring to our attention. God. He was saying he doesn't want to blow his own trumpet, but you know, there's no promotion like self-promotion.
That's right. That's certainly right.
He did say, and this is a true fact.
No, it was in the paper. That, wasn't it? I'll read it in the paper. That's all the reason I said it. I was doing my research, and it popped up.
He was doing his
research
on himself. So Leon has recently been recognised as the fourth highest Super League attendee, basically meaning as Super League players go and as Super League games have been played, there's only three players that have played more games than Leon in the modern era of the game. I think that deserves a round of applause.
I'll clap myself.
Put your back.
I'll read what it says. 414, Robert. That's
414.
Not bad, that, is it?
But we don't know what you're chasing because the three players standing in front of you.
It's about another 50 games, I think it is. Paul Wellens. It's about 460 games.
I mean, you started playing the game when you were 16 years of age. How old is Wello now?
He's about 35, you know.
Is he leading?
Yeah. He's leading, yeah.
So Wello's at the front, but obviously
he's due to retire this year.
Yeah, I think he's due to retire soon because he has to have a hip operation.
Paul Wellens, Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield. And all three of them will probably be retiring end of year.
And so you've got that then?
I've got a chance to go another year or so and try and catch them up.
Oh, here we go. Jake's got it up on the screen. 476 with Paul Wellens.
476, but that's how he's done, isn't he?
Yes, he's done now, basically, I think.
So who's next, Jakey? What about Peacock and Sinfield?
He's on the power of Wikipedia and his knowledge is just buffering.
Anyway, boys, that's enough about me. We've got it out there.
I was impressed with Leon, obviously. I watched the game and I actually got into about 20, 30 minutes into the first half and that. But, you know, it took some real good plaudits from the game. Was Mark Sneed, he pulled some real good,
well.
Crucial players out at crucial times, especially that kick.
He's in real good form at the moment. These last two, it's about been about five games a season when I've seen him play, and he's really been really classy. He's been a little bit Breeze-esque, where he's a little bit out of the box, a little bit dynamic, a little bit different. Got the kicking game, the cheeky one-pointer, and at the moment he's really looking good. I'm telling you now, he's looking good.
And do you think that's going to, because obviously he came over from Castleford the start of the season, did real well at Castleford, didn't he? You know what I mean? Really took the limelight and got him to the Challenge Cup final, but. The thing that's kind of impressive, he does do his own thing, and does that take some time for him to come into the team to find out, how each other plays?
You don't work out how to run a team, and work with a standoff all within 2 months, do you?
Yeah.
You know, it can take two or three seasons. Luckily, at the moment, it's starting to click. We've got a full squad. But I think, in my opinion, if he continues in this form, then he can't be far off an England call-up or an England shot at the end of the year.
That's interesting. Would you put him in front of Stephen Ratchford?
He's got to have a chance, yeah. It's as a seven, out-and-out seven. Ratchford's not an out-and-out seven.
We haven't quite worked out what Stephen Ratchford is.
Don't think Steph knows what he is. He's just good at playing rugby.
And I think that's ugly for. I mean, you spent the early part of your career doing that exact same thing, and I think it used to frustrate you, didn't it?
I think it can work for you, but at the same time work against you. I think if you really want to dominate a position and prove yourself, prove something to the sport, then if you've got an ambition to play in one position, then the best thing that I did in my career was move from Bradford to Saints. If I hadn't done so, I'd have probably still been a versatile in and out player still now, sat on the bench playing centre, playing wing, playing fullback. And for me, it was doing my career no good, and getting out of doing that only had a positive effect for me.
You've got to nail your colours to one mast, haven't you? This is how I want to play.
Look at Rich Whiting. Rich Whiting's had one of a very, very good career in Super League.
Being a utility.
Utility player. So you can't say it doesn't always work. But for me, I wanted to establish myself in one position.
All right, let's have a look at some of the other games that went on over the course of the week. And first, we'll have a look at the Super League. Giants lost to the Warriors. Bit of a battle, but the Warriors pulled away. Did you guys think that was going to be the outcome?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you backed them in your little Rob's.
We have Parker's predictions. Parker's predictions. It's still it's a rollover week. I think there's 70 quid in the pot next week, so it's going to be interesting. Wigan has really started to hit a little bit of form. I think they had a really good win against Leeds in the Magic Weekend, and that just kind of took them into that game and they saw it through.
Okay, Hull KR at home had a tough loss to Castleford. I think that was to be expected. 22 points to 30. St Helens had a confident win over top of the Red Devils. There's some noise coming out of the Red Devils at the moment. What is it? We saw a tweet just recently over the last couple of minutes from Marwan Kukash's official Twitter sign, and what is that?
The ever controversial Marwan Kukash has put a tweet out saying we'll be all right, and a couple of other things that producer Ewan is looking at me.
Currently just sure
he's ready.
Right now.
He's ready to turn the volume down on my microphone.
Basically, we'll be all right. Let the haters hate, but there was some expletives involved in that, which raised our eyebrows. Wolves battled hard to get the win over Catalan. Catalan seemed to be finding some form at the moment. And Wakey got pumped by Leeds at home, but they still managed to score 26 points.
But it was, I know I was checking the results myself, obviously, at our game, because I do them at the halftime in the Legends Suite and announced the games. But they were doing all right up until half time. I think there was only six or eight points in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the sort of effect that they've got a good team. So that's the sort of effect a new coach can come in. And we all know Brian Smith. We spoke about him last week. He's a hard taskmaster, and he doesn't suffer no fools. All right, we got loads to cover, including looking at the championship rounds and loads of the sports hot topics, including more with, well, when he does get here, the big man. All that more coming up after this break, so stay with us here on Pulse One.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire RHP here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Now, if you want to win two tickets to this weekend's 20-year celebration match between the Bradford Bulls and Dewsbury Rams, just answer this question and get it to us via the Pulse's website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show or Twitter, just hashtag RHP show. And the question is, I nearly forgot the question, and the question is, did Leslie Vinicolo, over the course of his 8-year stint, score more or less than 100 tries for the Bradford Bulls? Did he score more or less than 100 tries for the Bradford Bulls? Okay. Boys, let's get on to the hot topics going around the world of rugby league as we speak right now. Obviously, last Wednesday, it was agreed that the marquee player would be introduced for the 2016 season. Just to give you a background, a little bit of context to that, that means any homegrown player would only cost any one club £100,000. So, for example, Sam Burgess, if he was to come back to the Bradford Bulls, we could make sure that he, as a marquee player, he could stand to only be £100 on the current salary cap.
So, for example, you could give him £300,000 and only £100,000 would count on your salary cap.
That's exactly right. And anyone else can have a value of up to £175,000. So it could be an overseas player, or it could be, for example, if the Bradford Bulls were pulled in someone like
Sam Tompkins.
Leon would be homegrown, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Three years in the juniors.
So you could sign another player who's not been homegrown, and you could pay him £300,000, but he'd only count for
£175,000. Okay. So, me and Leon spoke about this last week. There's been a lot of arguments out there for and against. If you ever look at Wakey, Cass and Huddersfield, all of them saying, actually, we believe that we've found the right recipe, we've found the right model for a successful competition. If you ever look at the Super League now, especially with all the teams, every minute matters factor, it's working. But yet you've got the other more powerful, more wealthier clubs that are stating, no, we want to make sure that we can hold on to the talent that we're producing, and also maybe attract some of the international talent that is available down under and compete with them. I'm going to throw that back. After a week's worth of regurgitating all the information, everyone's fours and against, where do you guys stand on this?
Right, me and Leon are both looking at each other. I'm not sure on either one of your opinions. I hate it. I think...
Why do you hate it, Rob?
I hate it.
Because hate is such a strong word.
Yeah, I just think it's... Marwan Kukash was the main person who brought this out to the game, right?
He introduced the idea of it about 3 years ago.
A couple of years ago, and he's been, in all fairness, detriment to our game at the moment. I understand that he's raising his own PR, and he raises the PR of Salford. But the stuff that's coming out in the media in the last couple of days and weeks and stuff about Salford, they need to sort their own house out first. But they're saying that you can give someone £100,000 or £175,000 to bring a marquee signing, right?
Yes.
What we're doing, and let's be honest, we're going to try and attract people over from Australia doing this, right? That's why there's a bit of a clause of a £75,000 difference. But why aren't we, you know, we're sending players out on loan, but we've not even got a reserve grade. Use that money and invest in your own talent. And, you know, what it's also doing is making the rich richer and the poor poorer. So Wakefield and Cass and other clubs like can't even afford to pay that them for wages. But I'm pretty sure Leeds and Warrington and Saints and Wigan can. So it is all of a sudden making the divide even bigger. And it goes against the ideology of having a salary cap.
Okay, well, what about the idea then? If we're going to go down that route and we're going to start looking at, you know, these clubs, they can't afford to embrace the marquee player
route.
So
get rid of the salary cap then.
Or what about bringing that very American element of it and selling your marquee signing position?
No, that generates
income. I mean, they use it in the American sports, depending on where you finish the year before, will determine what rights you have to the player draft.
We're talking about a competition, right? That's a multi-billion pound industry.
Yes, you're right.
We can't rub two toffees together and a couple of Uncle Joe's mint balls and £8 together. Do you know what I mean? And I do. I mean, don't get me wrong. From a player perspective,
Let's say, for example, you've got Wakefield and they have the opportunity to sell that marquee player license or their marquee player title for $250,000. What that means to a club like Wakefield, to any club, could mean the difference between them staying in the Super League and going out.
So we're then kind of being a bit more of a back, you know, like people getting backhanders. Well, I'll sell you this because it then...
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that it creates conversation? There's a game within the game, and that is something...
It puts you in a job. My other idea before... I mean, I will let Leon speak as well, but what about the pressure on that player? So that player's going to come over on $300,000-$400,000 and you can have some other lads in on $30,000. That player, which is still a good wage, that player is 10 times worth more than the rest of his squad. Would that then cause, because I know what it was like when I played with you and I know how much you was on, I resented you and I resented Leon as well. But do you know what I mean?
To be honest, we both looked down our noses at you anyway.
You looked up your nose at me, Robbie. But what I'm saying is, will that cause infighting with the players thinking, hold on a minute, this guy's on
how can
three
it?
Times?
We already know that sort of thing goes on anyway. There's already players that get heavily paid more than other players. It's already there, and we're talking about maybe four or five times what your junior players, like players are just coming through the system. That already happens.
So say, for example, I was a prop forward and on $70,000, right? And then some guy comes in on $300,000, because that potentially could easily happen.
Well, that happens anyway, Rob.
Well, it does for you.
It happens anyway. You've got to think about the superstars of our game.
Of course, that comes with it.
But all right, before Sam Tompkins went to Auckland Warriors, New Zealand Warriors, his pay compared to some of the other players there would have probably been quadruple miles more than what they're on. It's still the same situation. It's the same thing.
I mean, we can never really understand or know for a definite how much each player's on, but because of the salary cap, we can work it out that, all right, you're probably on maybe top players are $200,000.
Well, let Leon speak, because here's your opportunity, Leon. Obviously, we had this discussion last week, and actually, you did raise the point that Rob made there about, you know, the inequality with players and wages, but there's been another week's worth of discussion going on. So what's your position on this now?
I just think it's an effort. At least it's an effort to try and keep some superstars within the game. I'm not too sure if it's the right way of doing it, but it's something's changed. I would like to see the money maybe spread across the game a little bit more equally, where more players would feel the effect. Maybe three or four players having a sponsored kind of way, maybe, you know, like a 20 or 30 or maybe $50,000 outside of the cap, which would be fairer.
Like an RFU contract?
Yeah, just some a little bit fairer where it's not necessarily guided toward one player, but it's an effort. I'm not sure if it's going to work. I'm not really going to have a go at it, because at least they're trying something,
because he wants it.
I mean, there was that discussion we had early on in the season about the player drain down under, and we're still seeing players going down under now. They've got a bigger salary cap, they've got bigger budgets to work from the centre now. This is the governing bodies in the sports way of trying to make it more of a level playing field.
I don't want to criticise before it's actually they've tried it out, because I was one player that's always been quite outspoken of Super League trying to keep its best players in Super League so that we can watch them on TV and enjoy a bit more of a razzmatazz of a game rather than getting a little bit boring, a bit diluted of players, of superstar players. So I'm not going to criticise for the RFL trying to do something about it.
My counter-argument to that is, you look at the... counter-argument? Bloody hell, I feel like I'm...
I'll counter
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, in the Australian competition, they have a minimum wage... So that actually puts quite a lot of the players on a decent minimum
wage.
I'd
be happy with that.
We're looking at one player, though, from each club. So in Super League, you're only talking about 12 players.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is unfair, and probably what Leon's saying in a different way, that let's spread the wealth a bit. Let's not just make one person rich. You know, let's make a team richer and actually improve our game of homegrown talent.
All right, well, I think this is going to be a hot topic for a while until we get used to seeing it. Until it comes into action, I think it's going to be a discussion point moving forward. Okay, ladies and gents, stay around. We'll be back soon. We'll be discussing all of your questions for the big man. Hopefully, he would have arrived here safely. All that and more coming soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
You are listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse 1. Now, if you want to win a couple of tickets to this weekend's 20-year celebration for the Bradford Bulls where they take on Dewsbury Rams up at the Providence Stadium, just answer this question. Over the course of the 8-year stint that Leslie Vaniokolo spent with the Bradford Bulls, did he score more or less than 100 tries? It's quite an easy one. We like to make it easy. We like to give away tickets. So if you want to get in touch, you can tweet us using hashtag RHP Show or get in contact via the website, which is pulse1.co.uk/RHP Show. Now, he's here. It's taken a while, but the big man is here. Leslie Vaniokolo, welcome to the studio, my man. And actually, to be honest, we've got a very busy studio. Not only have we got Leslie, but we've also got former Wakefield, former Leeds Rhinos player, New Zealand international, and Samoan international, Willie Poaching. He's coached at every club in the Super League, every championship club, coaches at every amateur, every level.
He's breathe, the man. Robbie, breathe.
Willie Poaching is also in the house as well. Yeah, so a round of applause. We also have Carver, Leslie's son in here, and his wife, Sienna. Sienna, we love you, Sienna. Thank you for getting your husband here in one piece.
Leon, this is the bit where Robbie starts to act a little bit more kind of Islander and Samoan. He was a West Yorkshire man about 10 minutes ago.
Hey, cuz.
It's not Samoan now, it's Samoa.
Yeah, but he's Tongan.
You start putting your accent on anyway, don't you?
Yorkshire accent.
You know, I don't even know. I didn't even see it happen. Leslie, welcome to the show, big fella.
Thank you for having me.
So you know, you knew you were going to be on the show between 6 and 7, and you set off from Hull at 4:45 on the M62, the busiest time of the day. You know what I mean?
I forgot how bad the weather, the traffic is. So,
you can't blame the weather today.
Nah, it was all good. About that, boys. But,
I mean, what you're celebrating at this point in time is that actually you're going to immigrate back to New Zealand. You're leaving us.
Yes, I am.
Hey, the Foreign Affairs Office has finally caught up with you. They realise that you're staying here over past your visa date. It's taken them, you know, 6 years to track you down. You only come over on a 2-year visa.
I know, man. I was the same visa as you on.
Oh, shh, don't tell anyone.
But they couldn't see you because you're too short. So.
Mate, what are you going to go there for? Why are you going to go there? Mate, let's have a talk about your career. Let's have a talk about, you know, are you feeling sad that it's come to an end? It's been a journey, hasn't it? It's been a journey for yourself. It's been a journey for your family.
No, it's all right at the moment. You know, I feel quite sad to leave. But at the same time, I'm excited as well. I've closed in a book that I've lived on, and I'm opening another book.
And, is it a colouring book?
yeah, it's got you in it.
Colour by numbers.
But yeah, no, it's time to go back home, see the family. It's been away too long, so I think Mum's waiting for me. So I can't wait to go home.
Yeah, she wasn't impressed when you decided to come to the other side of the world, was she?
Nah, she wasn't. We told her we'd only come for 2 years, but 12 years later.
Hey, Willie said the same thing. I said the same. Sean Tane, Joe, all of them. You say, yeah, we're only going to go over there, just cut my teeth in the game, you know, get firm footing and find a club back home next minute. So what is it about England for us? You know, is it the water?
I think it's the food. It's the company around us, you know, the friendship we have. It depends on the club. Every player's got a different view. Leon will probably tell you different, you know, Willie Poaching will tell you. But for me, I think it's if you come to a right club, family environment, and you're performing as a team, not individually, it goes well. And it comes down to performing on the field and be friends on the field and off the field. I think that's important as well.
Les, we had you at the club, obviously at the Providence Stadium at the weekend, and we had a few like family atmosphere kind of things going on as well. But what was it like for you to come back after? You know, I know you've kept, you know, speaking to Robbie and a few other lads, and every time you was over in the country, you'd come and see people. But what was it like to be back at probably the club that arguably had the most success and probably the most enjoyable times at?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. You know, pretty humble coming back to, you know, where everything started. You know, like I always say, I always come back to your roots, where you started, no matter where you are. So, Bradford was one of the club that I always keep close in my heart, and I'll take it with me.
So, you know, will it be an emotional kind of farewell when you do actually do get step on that plane?
Yes, it will be.
Maybe even a tear shed from the big guy?
I mean, you got to say it. Some tears of sadness, yeah, because you are, like you said, you're closing the book, you're closing just a chapter on your life, which is the story that's ongoing at this point in time. But like you said, there's also that exciting adventure in front of you. So what are you looking at doing, moving back to New Zealand?
Well, I've been coaching the last couple of years, player coach in France, and I kind of enjoy it. And now I'm going to carry that on in New Zealand. But I'm really targeting the schools. I've seen a lot of talent coming off school and they're lost. And what I wanted to do is go back to the school and coach the schools, coach the kids, their school, first 15, rugby and rugby league.
Southside?
Just always.
So you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, both Les and I come from Auckland, and Willie. We all come from Auckland. Willie, you're more central Auckland, aren't you? Willie was central Auckland, Leslie was south Auckland, and I was from the real side, which was the west side. And the west side, is, as they say, is the best side. But obviously,
side.
big Polynesian community in South Auckland. Is that what you're going to target? You know, people that you can, kids that can identify with you as a professional and as a ginormous man.
Bit of both. No, it's the talent that I've seen there. It's gone missing. You know, I've experienced it. You know, from school, coming out of school, you know, you got like maybe 100 talent kids out there, and it's only probably about 10 will get full time because they don't know what to do after come out of school because they're too comfortable at school.
Is that like a mentoring role?
Exactly.
Where you'll lead them through. So is it that you want to identify that? Will sport be involved there?
Yes, it will be.
I mean, you also be kind of educating them on like kind of life skills and you know, there's a lot of kind of draw, you know, kind of things to take people away with drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff. Is it an amalgamation of everything to educate and grow them into young men?
Yes, definitely. You know, you got to give them your experience. You know, if they want to be a professional, whatever sports or whatever thing they want to do, you know, you got to go through a few tips and hurdles to go through.
Les, as a Bradford lad and a very big lifelong Bradford fan, I've had the privilege to play alongside you obviously for a few years and watch you be obviously one of the best players that Bradford's ever seen, probably the best winger that we've ever had.
He's starting to well up. You can hear the tears in the back of his voice.
He's a massive part of the history of the club of Bradford. What was your favourite try you've ever scored for the Bulls, ever? What's your favourite ever try you've scored?
Ooh.
Oh. He's scored so many, Leon.
One of your favourites,
was it over 100 or was it below 100?
You can't tell him.
Oh, you can't tell him, Les. You can't tell him. That's an ongoing competition at the moment. But if you want to pick out one try or maybe even one game that epitomised, you know, your enjoyment, and don't say when you played against me when I played for Huddersfield and you launched me 18 feet into the air.
I'll pick a year, 2005. Yeah. I think that was the best year, I always say. A lot of people write us off after four or five games. We didn't have the greatest year, though, did we?
No, let's be honest. We were struggling in the first part of the year.
It is, and that's what brings us together. You know, the character of us is the Bull, Breath of Bulls, and, you know, Leon, you experienced it as well, and Robbie and Parker. And I think everybody was leaving after that, but we pulled it back together after that, on that 2005, we came back and win all the games.
That was an amazing year, a final year for many of us. Now, I got a question from a supporter, and this is from Twitter. This is at Poz89, and he asks, is there anyone or was there anyone that you feared playing as much as some feared playing against you? So was there anyone that you feared playing against? So, because obviously no one was going to run over top of you. And quite the opposite, you know, you ran over top of quite a lot of people. But there anyone, you know, because it could have been the likes of Rob Burrow, you know, skidding about with just speed or stuff like that. Was there anyone that you actually, let's look across width and breadth at international level, et cetera. Is anyone that you kind of feared playing against? Or someone maybe you admired, respected?
I won't say fair, but I say a good challenge and bring the best out of you. Wendell Saylor, you know, and like you said, Rob Burrow, you know, he's a little nippy little fella. Yeah, you can't catch him, you know. And,
you would eat him, though, wouldn't you?
No.
Well, Carver's bigger than him, isn't he?
I know. But for me, I think the more scared I'll probably be is if I make too many mistakes, you know, and let the team down. And let the players down. I think that would be my biggest fear. And I always go out there and do my best.
Okay, another quick question from a supporter. This comes from Jake H. Khalifa, again from Twitter. And he asks, who would the Volcano rather play, Ryan Hall or Justin Carney? Both of them are both big running players. Who would you rather play against, Ryan Hall or Justin Carney?
Like I said, you know, I'd rather play both of them, you know. It's good to, big wingers coming through. You know, those two have been playing really, really well. I really rated Hall. He's been playing really well for Leeds and that. So, I don't mind. It brings the best out of you.
I think that kind of is a bit of a testament to him that he didn't really fear anyone. He respected everyone, but he wanted a good challenge.
Well, exactly.
You're not scared really
of anything, are you?
No.
I was scared of loads of players. Because, a little fella in a big man sport, but I never admitted it.
Well,
you just heard it here now.
Yeah. Les, you're talking about the next chapter and stuff, obviously going back to New Zealand. Carver, would he have been back to New Zealand, or is that the bit that you're excited about, is taking him back to where you grew up and showing him, you know, what kind of made you who you are today?
Yeah, it is. I want him to know where his daddy's been up to, where he grew up, and most of the time. We've been doing that in the last few years, taking him back to Tonga as well. So, but now he's in the right age to know. You know, he just found out what daddy's doing last year, so a year ago, year and a half.
So did he not know who you was and what you've done?
He didn't, because I didn't want to put any pressure on.
I think we got you played there long ago. I think we got some VHS copies. It might have been Betamax copies of you playing. All right, coming up next, we'll name the winner of this weekend's tickets up at the Bradford Bulls, and we'll also look at the weekend's upcoming matches. We'll also continue our chat with the big man himself. So don't go anywhere. You're with Robbie Hunter-Paul on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One, and we're continuing on with our look at all things rugby league. I can't concentrate because I'm just looking at Rob Parker, and he's got Leslie Vanicolo's son, Carver, here. And obviously we know that Rob Parker had his finger removed.
It was quite famous on the show. We got a lot of material out of that, mate.
I think we run the show for about 3 months on just your finger
alone. Did.
But he's just done that magic trick with a disappearing finger, and I think Carver is emotionally scarred now. Doesn't affect you, eh, Carver? Doesn't affect you.
Where he's from, they just keep eating fingers.
Yeah. Eat you for dinner. Okay, we'll start off with the winner of the free ticket. So the question that we asked was, Did Leslie Ioane Colo in the 8-year stint that he spent with the Bradford Bulls, how many tries did he score? Did he score more or less than 100? Sally Dodd has emailed in and she said, Big Les scored way more than 100 tries with his time at Bradford, and that is 100% correct.
How many, Les, do you remember?
I can't remember.
I do, because I interviewed you the other day, so I had to get all the stats up on Wikipedia. 149 tries in 152 games, and more importantly, scored one conversion as well.
Well, where did the conversion come from? Explain the conversion. How was it, your last game or something?
Yeah, I think so. It was the last game.
Leon looked like he was going to say something then.
Now, we were talking about before, what was your favourite moment in rugby league? You scored 6 tries. Who was it against? Was it against?
Hull at home.
Yeah, Hull. 6 tries. That had to be a pretty nice evening.
Yeah, it is. It is.
One year or 2 years you topped the try scoring table as well. Mm. You were a try scoring machine.
Yeah, you know it comes.
You were greedy.
No. It's like I said, man. It comes down to a team effort. So, you know, I'm a team man, not individually. So that's why, Robbie.
You know what was funny? I remember me and Euston Harris were discussing it one time after we'd finished playing alongside you. And we were talking about times where, you know, you'd put on a team move and you pass it out to you and you'd score a try. And then all the halves, we'd be going back and we'd be giving each other high fives, say, yeah, we did that well. And then you left the Bradford Bulls, and that's when Euston was still there. And so they would try to put the same moves on, create the same sort of space, but the try never got scored. So, you know, the goal we had at that time wasn't to try and create an overlap for Leslie. It was trying to give Leslie a one-on-one or a two-on-one with the opposition. And that is something that you overlook. You don't know how valuable that is to your team until it's gone. And I think that was a lesson that Bradford definitely learned once you left. Now, you took your time then and then you went off into rugby union. And how did you find that? No, I don't want to labour too much on rugby union. This is a rugby league show. Yeah. But obviously, how did you find making that transition from rugby league as a New Zealand international going over playing rugby union for England?
No, it was quite easy, man. You know, because it was the back, so I didn't have to do much in the forwards, line out and scrums and that, so I just stay out on the wing.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fitness-wise.
Oh.
I mean, your workload in rugby league is massive compared to rugby union,
yep.
Isn't it?
In league, you touch the ball about 30 times. In rugby, probably 2 or 3.
It's if they pass you the ball.
Exactly. There's just a lot of a kick and chase.
Well, I'm intrigued to know, obviously, we've all, you know, heard about some of the stuff that Les has done, but have we got any stories that we remember of Les? Because one of my first memories of Les, we went over to Spain on a warm pre-season training camp, and Les had come over, this big, you know what I mean, big afro, big kid, massive, and we're all thinking, like, who is this lad? You know, we'd heard of him and we knew of him, but he turned up and he's bigger than all the prop forwards. And something happened in training and Tevita Vaikona was on the opposing team and made this massive break. And I don't know if you remember, but Les run from the other side of the field and caught Tevita in nowhere.
And we all turned around
and went, we're going to do all right with this one. That was the point we knew.
I tell you, it was awesome. At one stage in the 2003 season, Mick Withers was injured. Leon, you were playing stand-up and I was at fullback. On my wings, I had Tevita Vaikona on one wing and Les on the other. And you know what? Whenever they kick the ball downtown, if they run at me with a broken line or just one or two goes, I'd have a run because you beat one or two. Whenever they had, which was 90% of the time, a nice flat line, I just passed the ball out to one of those. They'd punch a hole in the opposition and then I'd go on the next one. It was the greatest time to play fullback ever.
Team effort, Robbie.
Les, a big part of your career and a lot of help, you know, playing at the Bulls, your combination was work with Shontay Nappe, and obviously you've always kept a close relationship with Shontay. And how much does he mean to you on and off the field?
Oh, it means a lot. You know, if you have a good connection on the field, it's always, off the field, it's always good on the field. And, you know, you talk a lot, combining stuff and trying new stuff. And that's what we like to do. We like to try new stuff. If it works, it'll work. If it doesn't, we get grinding. But hey, that's life.
That's the creativity. Exactly. Now, I can't remember what final it was Shontay scored. Then he puts his hands on his head and you give him a spanking from behind. 2005. Yeah, but what, 2005, was it?
Yeah.
Now, had you guys planned to do that?
Yeah, we planned it out.
I remember coming back from Huddersfield and playing against the Bulls for my first year. Yeah. And you and Shontaine put this move on. Remember the scud?
Yeah.
We had two guys inside. Slide over, and then you come back on the inside, and everyone sort of, the scud, everyone knew. But Leslie comes back on the inside, and as soon as he gets the ball, he sits the ball up because Shontaine came with him. And I remember I was defending against it. Just completely bamboozled us. And Shoney scored. And I just had to go, oh, that was good. I just stood there and I was on the defense.
Well done, brothers.
I just said, oh, that was good. Because when you were coming back, you needed to put three, defending your own try line, you needed to put three players on you anyway. Everyone's looking at you, but your touch on the pass. I think that's one thing that people overlook. Yeah, put the ball underneath your arm, big and strong, but you actually had quite deft hands for a winger. Where did that come from?
Mate, oh, my wife will tell you. Got soft hands.
Sienna's in the room right now. She's just died a little bit on the inside. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, right. We haven't got much time left on our hands at tonight. We're just going to have a quick look at the upcoming games in both the Championship and the Super League. In the Championship, tonight, Batley hosts London Broncos. So it's a Wednesday night. They're catching up on games. Hunslet will be at home to Fax this weekend. Sheffield will be at home to Whitehaven. Batley hosts Lee, Donny hosts London, and the Bulls have their 20-year anniversary up at Dewsbury, where I think, what was her name, Sally Dodd will be getting those two tickets. In the Super League, Leeds hosts Cass tomorrow. St. Helens play Wigan. FC, you guys are going over to Catalans this weekend. Leon, Giants at home to the Wolves. KR play Widnes, and Wakey play the Red Devils. Leon, travelling over to Catalans. Les, you just recently left the south of France. What's the weather like over there? It's going to be a bit of a hot one for them, isn't it?
Yep, definitely. It's real hot down there. So a lot of water's coming in.
Plenty of sun, Sam.
What do you reckon that's going to go, Leon?
It's a tough game. Catalan are a different team at home compared to what they play like in England, so it's always a lot tougher over there, very hostile, so we're preparing for a really tough game.
This your first time back against Catalan?
Yeah, my first time, yeah.
Ooh, feisty.
Okay, the other game, probably the big game of the round, and that is St. Helens and Wigan. What way do you think that one's going to go, boys? I need it quickly.
Wigan Warriors!
Saints, I'm a Saints man, Saints.
Leslie Vinicola, you know, the local derby, St. Helens
Saints,
versus
mate.
Wigan.
I go with Leon, Saints.
Okay, well, the only other one, just one word answer. Giants at home to the Wolves.
Warrington.
Huddersfield.
Les is going against
Huddersfield, bro.
All right, that's it for this week. My thanks to Leon Price. He's gone before Rob Parker. Rob Parker and the one and only legend, Leslie Vinicola. Yeah. Willie Poteng for coming. Leslie's family also. Make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.